So we live in a world that's just flooded with so many voices. And everywhere we go, they want our attention. There are just countless messages that come to us all the time. Just think of the media. So the media works around the clock. And they spin their stories so that they could influence our opinions. Then you go to the marketplace, the shopping centers, and you go there, and all of them are crying out for our attention, promising that we will have fulfillment if we just buy this or the other latest thing. You look at the world of politics, and the politicians, of course, they also want our attention. They promise us all the things that we fear they will take care of. All of our needs, they have those in hand, so that, of course, they can win our votes. In the passage that Eric just read out to us, we saw yet another group, and that is the violent group. They call out for our attention, the ones who promise us to be part of the gang and to be in. We also see in Proverbs, we see the more subtle group, the seductive group, that is calling our attention and, of course, promising us satisfaction. Even our own hearts call out for our attention so that all of our anxieties, our fears, and our ambitions can be satisfied. But among all these voices, there's another voice crying out to us. And this is the voice of God's wisdom. And that voice is calling out to us tonight. It is personified as Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom is the most prominent voice in the early chapters of the book of Proverbs. In fact, she shapes the way that we should be reading the rest of Proverbs. Why is wisdom, God's wisdom, personified in this way? Is it because wisdom is an exclusively feminine quality? So if you had to look for wisdom, you know where to find it. You need a wife. Of course, we have lovely Christian ladies, and God has endowed them with great wisdom. But that is not the reason why wisdom is personified as a woman. Presenting God's wisdom as a noble woman, Proverbs is teaching us that wisdom is nurturing, life-giving, and relational. It is not just a set of abstract standards or principles or morals that we have to master. Her character shows that biblical wisdom is something to seek, something to love, and to live in relationship with. God's wisdom isn't an impersonal advice, letters on a page to tell us what to do, but it is actually very personal, and it's covenantal. That means it is in the context of a faithful, loyal relationship with God that wisdom is learned and received. And this wisdom is calling us to walk with God in fellowship and loyalty with Him. And that is why she is portrayed in this way. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we see God's wisdom, Lady Wisdom, calling out in the streets and in the markets to all who will listen. And this tells us that God's wisdom isn't hidden. It isn't secret or reserved for only the elites, the wealthy people who live in mansions, or the professors who are in universities, or perhaps even the priests in the temple. No, God's wisdom is meant for the person on the street, just as much as it's meant for the prince in a palace. Lady Wisdom meets people in their public lives as well as their private lives and their devotional moments. That means wisdom, God's wisdom, affects every area of our life. But how is Lady Wisdom calling out? Firstly, she speaks through the heavens and the skies, declaring God's glory and handiwork. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 2 and 3. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. When we behold the heavens, when we look at the wonders of creation, Lady Wisdom is calling us to acknowledge our Creator. His eternal power and His divine nature, and to honor Him as our God. Every person on the planet can hear that voice. Secondly, since God has inscribed His basic moral code on every human heart, Lady Wisdom speaks to our reason and to our conscience through her instruction. And when we hear her instruction, our conscience will either condemn us or it will excuse us. Thirdly, Lady Wisdom speaks supremely and most freely through Christ, who is both the power and the wisdom of God. Now, it's fascinating to just look at Jesus' ministry and find that Jesus taught openly in public, not in secret, often urging this: he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus charged his disciples to proclaim the good news from the housetops. Indeed, they are to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to whole creation. They are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. This Lady Wisdom calls through creation, the law, conscience, the gospel, through general revelation, through special revelation, through nature, through scripture, through the created order, and through the church. Lady Wisdom works tirelessly to make known to us the manifold wisdom of God in Christ. No one is beyond her reach. And no one can rightly claim they have never heard her voice. Therefore, and listen to this, we are all without excuse. From the self-proclaimed atheist to the religious zealot, we're all part of Lady Wisdom's target audience. None of us can plead ignorance, complete ignorance. All are accountable before God. And this is all the more striking because of the urgency, the authority, and the gravity with which she raises her voice, and everyone hears in one way or another. And she offers life and blessing to all who would heed her. Listen again to her kind offer in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Here, Lady Wisdom singles out three types of people in particular: simple ones, scoffers, and fools. Simple ones are the simple-minded, the naive, the immature, those who lack insight and can really easily be influenced in a bad way, and they love it that way. The scoffers are the proud-hearted and the cynical. They actively despise divine wisdom. They treat sacred truth with contempt, and they enjoy doing it. And then the fools. They are fleshly and spiritually stubborn people. They reject, actually they hate God's moral boundaries and His spiritual instructions, choosing rather to live as if they knew better than God, or as if there were no God. What do you think of this bunch? The simpletons, the scoffers, and the fools. The spiritually clueless, conceited, and carnal. Our society has no shortage of those, does it? If we knock on the doors in the neighborhoods and want to talk about God, what comes out? The scoffer and the fool. Yet the amazing thing is, even though such people disregard, displease, and disown God, His voice of wisdom through Lady Wisdom still reaches out to them. The Lord hasn't written them off, even though they have written Him off. What does this tell us about God? God is truly gracious, and He deeply cares about people and desires that even the most undeserving hear His wisdom and receive His blessing. Now, before we think that we're not part of that type of people, we need to ask ourselves this question: have we ever treated God with less honor than He deserves? If we're honest with ourselves, we must admit that there's far more ignorance, arrogance, and defiance in our hearts than we recognize. And for that reason, we need to heed Lady Wisdom's kind offer just as much as anyone else. So, what is her offer to simple ones, to scoffers and fools? Well, firstly, she diagnoses their moral failure precisely. When a doctor tells us our true medical condition, we consider that an act of kindness, not cruelty, don't we? If they were to hide our actual illness from us, that would be cruel. Similarly, the heavenly doctor tells us what is wrong with us spiritually, and when he does that, it is kindness to us. And why does he tell us our true spiritual state? Is it to shame us? Is it to crush us? Condemn us? It's to heal us and restore us. Secondly, after calling out our soul sickness, Lady Wisdom offers a remedy. And this takes her kindness to the next level. Her remedy is expressed in the form of, "If you, I will, and I will." If you will turn at my reproof, in other words, if you repent when I correct or rebuke you, then I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. That is, I will not only teach you, but I will impart a wise and a discerning spirit to you so that you can understand and follow my instructions. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 9 and 10 puts it this way. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This remedy is exactly the gospel remedy. Turn from your sin to Christ, and He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will enlighten, lead, and transform you according to God's word. So, ladies, wisdom's diagnosis and remedy reveals God's mercy. He exposes our sins, not to condemn us, but to lead us to Christ so that we will receive His Spirit who will empower us to live wise and godly lives. Let's just pause for a moment. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, how should we respond? Should we become defensive or offended? No, we should repent, for it's the gateway to God's guidance, wisdom, and life. But what if people refuse to repent? What if they repeatedly reject Lady Wisdom's offer of life-giving and life-guiding wisdom? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 33 answers these questions in what is arguably the most sober and alarming passage in the entire book of Proverbs. How so? It sets before us the dreadful consequences of shutting our ears and hardening our hearts to Lady Wisdom's voice. A time eventually comes when she will no longer call out, and when we call out, she will no longer answer. And that is the most terrifying place that a human being can ever be in. For then she withdraws her gracious ministry, and the only thing that is left is what? Judgment. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 24 to 33 is written to awaken us to the extreme folly of ignoring Lady Wisdom. And it's meant to jolt us out of spiritual complacency. So let's have a closer look at these verses. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 24 and 25, Lady Wisdom begins her charge. Despite all her efforts to save, to guide, and to bless, she has been willfully and continually rejected. She called out and cried out publicly, but they refused to listen. She reached out a hand of mercy, but they paid no attention. She offered her sound counsel, but they ignored her. She lovingly corrected them, but they would have none of it. What do you make of such a response? Most people will be highly offended, perhaps even enraged, if anyone treated them like this. If a child behaved in this way towards he or her parent, how would we call that child? This child is stubborn, rebellious, and wayward. How much worse then when the infinite, when finite and fallible human beings treat Almighty and all-wise God this way. Surely, this is culpable behavior of the highest order. Such culpable behavior inevitably brings consequences. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26 and 28, we see two sets of consequences that highlight the folly of rejecting God's wisdom, but also its tragic irony. Listen to this. First, those who laughed at Lady Wisdom's counsel and mocked at her correction will experience exactly the same treatment. When disaster strikes, she will laugh, not with the same sick pleasure that they once showed, but as is fitting for divine justice on those whose own choices are coming back to bite them. Secondly, those who rejected her call will themselves be rejected. Lady Wisdom earnestly sought to save them, but they wouldn't listen. Therefore, when they finally cry out in desperation, she's nowhere to be found. The opportunity for repentance have passed. It was too little, too late. Now, this dramatic reversal, this turning of tables, illustrates a fundamental principle in life. What is that principle? Whatever one sows, that you reap. And verse 31 vividly shows that principle. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way, and they have their fill of their own devices. So, Lady Wisdom's laughter isn't vindictive, it's poetic justice. Her silence isn't a failure to care, it's because there's no true repentance. Many people will say, "I'm sorry," but often their regret is only because they're suffering the consequences of what they've done. They grieve the pain of their choices, but they still love their choices. Such people do not sorrow over offending a holy God and being estranged from Him. Their heart remains unchanged. Proverbs 1 verse 29 and 30 takes us to the very heart of the matter. The core reason why some people become irredeemable. Listen again to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of His counsel and despised His reproof, or my reproof, says Lady Wisdom. We saw last week that the grand goal, the highest prize of wisdom is what? Where does wisdom take a person? To the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. In other words, wisdom leads us to a humble, reverent submission to God and into a living relationship with Him, where we come to truly know Him relationally and covenantally. It produces both awe of Him and intimacy with Him, wisdom of Him, and fellowship with Him. And it's in that state where a person really fears God and knows God that wisdom starts to flood into their hearts. And that is when they eagerly embrace His counsel and willingly let Him correct them. Well, what can we say about people who have no appetite for God's counsel, who take offense at His correction? What can we say about people like that? They neither know God nor fear God. They have no relationship with Him, and they have no true religion before Him. They are in the dreadful state of human folly. And here's the stark reality. If the very heart and the soul of what Lady Wisdom offers, the Lord Himself, is declined, despised, hated, and ultimately rejected, then what can Lady Wisdom do? If they refuse divine grace, then they leave themselves with only one option: divine justice. And this is the inevitable consequence when they resolutely choose to reject the Lord. Lady Wisdom's opening call is brought to a climax in the last two verses. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me, says Lady Wisdom, will dwell securely and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This puts two stark alternatives of life and death before us. Between wisdom and folly, there is no middle ground. Either we humble ourselves before the Lord and heed His wisdom, which will produce security, peace, and a confident hope, or we allow our own complacency and folly to be our ruin. Folly is fatal. But Jesus, God's wisdom personified, is on a mission to save us from that fatal disease. He's the only one with the credentials and the skill to get someone disentangled from folly. And therefore, Lady Wisdom is calling us to turn to Him rather than away from Him. Turn to Christ and live securely. Turn away from Him and die eternally. And those are the two options of life. That's it. In closing, countless voices call out for our attention and our affection, promising us everything under the sun. But what do they really deliver? Yet though, through all the noise and all the confusion, there's a distinctly divine voice that's calling us to find true wisdom in life and relationship with the Lord. In Proverbs, that voice speaks as Lady Wisdom. But ultimately, the voice is the voice of Christ Himself, whom the Apostle Paul calls the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Apostle John identifies Him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus calls Himself the Good Shepherd, who lays down His life for the sheep. Now hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than I, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? The one who gives eternal life and never loses his sheep. He will not lose one of his sheep. This is wisdom, to know the voice of Christ and to follow him, and to refuse to follow the voice of a stranger. Every strange voice, every other voice, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life, and that abundantly. Be wise and follow Christ and live. Amen.